Today on the Grave Talks, part two of the hauntings of the historic Monroe Theater.
You know, in most recent times, we'll be looking for something. And this is the one thing I absolutely love. We'll be looking for something that was in plain sight, and it's now gone. And we look everywhere, and we can't find it. So I'll go upstairs or somewhere, and I'm like, okay, guys, you know, if you know where this is at, I don't care where it's at. If you could just put it somewhere where we can see it, that would be great. We go away, come back 15, 20 minutes, and whatever, be like right in the middle of the room on a floor or whatever. It's unreal because they do respond to us.
Oh, I agree with that. I have to ask you a quick question to interrupt. Sure. And this whole interview has been pretty quiet until about the last 5 minutes. And there is all this noise behind you. Is that something in there that you're hearing too?
Yeah, the contractors are over on the other side.
Because I was like, if I don't ask, somebody's going to say there was some kind of ghostly sound going on behind that guy. So I have to ask.
That's actually one of those vibrating cutter tools that they're using.
Because that is what it sounds like. Okay. And going back to you were going into play the movies, and the movies were missing. That's kind of the same thing that was happening there. Did the movies pop up in some other location, or were you ever able to find them?
They would be right in the middle of the soundboard. It was almost like they absolutely wanted me to know that movie was indeed gone, and now it's back. And it's like, you know, because they knew that the whole operation for the movies was right there. We ran the projector, the sound, everything from the soundboard. And I would come in the next day and there's the movie, or I would be over in the office part or the restroom area or whatever the rest of the day and get ready to finish up. And later that afternoon, the movie be laying right in the middle of the soundboard. And it's like,
wow,
amazing.
Do you think that the couple teams that only stayed about an hour, sometimes I wonder, you know, I this is just a guess. I obviously wasn't there. But do you think it could be their approach to them? Like, you have such a respectful approach.
I think a lot of it is about approach. I also think, you know, and we expect that. A lot of the guests that we get here to do investigations and whatever, I said they just have enough information to come in here and scare themselves because they're terrified. They're thinking haunted house, and it's far from a haunted house. I mean, yes, technically I would say it's haunted, but there's sometimes it startles you because, you know, a sound or something, but there's nothing dark behind it or anything. And that's what they have been over this theater so many times. And we did have one group come in, and within 10 minutes they were doing a live stream, and within 10 minutes they were reporting a growl. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. Maybe they brought it with them, or because I know that can happen, maybe they brought it with them, or maybe, you know, maybe it's something else. Well, then I decided halfway through their investigation, I went back to their page and I started, you know, going through some other places that they had investigated. And it's nothing against them. Those guys were great. But I did notice that they often heard a growl everywhere they went. And I thought, okay, so it's got to be something that's either attached to them or they're picking up something that they just feel is a growl everywhere they are. And because there was nothing here. In fact, you know, when something like that happens, we call the ladies from Belmont County Spirit Seekers back in to come help just to make sure that we're still okay.
I think that's a really good idea.
Yes.
Because especially when you have so many people coming in and out, and when they're doing investigations in particular, they're kind of stirring things up.
Right.
But I think with your approach to explaining it to the people who live in the theater, that what's going on, what they're doing, let us know and maybe the people who ran out, they did not like them. Sent them a sign. It's like, not you guys.
Yes. And you know, like I said, I did once that I understood that they had the capabilities to do that, you know, that I wanted to relay that by all means. We're not forcing you to do anything. We're not forcing you to be on display. And I've even told them, you know, we've got a group coming in tonight. If you guys don't feel like talking or you don't want to be on display, that's absolutely your call. These people, I think this is a good team coming. They're very interested in why you may be here or what brings you here, what keeps you here. They're really fascinated with that. You know, so it's like I also relay to the entities that are here, it's up to them. If they want to light up a cat ball or they want to break a laser grid or they want to slam a door or something like that, that's on them, but they don't have to.
When the theater first reopened, and I'm going to guess it took a little bit for it to actually reopen because it sat empty for so long, did people pick up on activity pretty much right away?
No. Actually, you know, to be honest, we wrote a lot of it off because we're like, oh my goodness, it's nothing. It's a breezy old building. It's an old building. Old buildings make sounds. Old buildings, you know, and we just kept like pushing everything away as something else. And then one day I'm like, okay, something's not exactly right. And I had said something about this or that. And then Tammy, I think it was from the Spirit Seekers, one of the ladies reached out to me and said, hey, we would like to come over there. And she was very upfront. She said, we are super respectful. We are more about the history and, you know, the well-being of everything and to make sure it's a healthy situation. So we said absolutely they could come over. And now they're huge supporters of the theater. They come to shows. They've donated things to the theater. They've sponsored some different things for the kids. Just absolutely phenomenal.
Did people think, I hate to say the word you're crazy, but it's so often with the paranormal when you have an experience, the people who haven't experienced assume that you're crazy. Did you get some pushback about doing paranormal investigations there with some of the board or other people who work and volunteer there?
Well, we had a couple committee members that it just set their hair on end, and they really don't want to be involved that much, and definitely not if nobody's here. We've got some that are, you know, we've got one girl, bless her heart, she's just absolutely terrified of it. And I've told her, I said, these things will not hurt you. And she swears up and down that it felt like she was walking upstairs and it felt like somebody had their hand on her back. And I said, well, they could have. And I said, they don't mean anything. I said, they're not trying to be harmful. And I said, but you're fortunate. I said, there's something about you that they've picked because if you can feel them touch you, I said, some of those things I would just about die for to happen to me. You know, and there's others like some people in the community, you've got this group that says, oh, I always knew that place was haunted. It was just creepy. It was this, it was that. You've got others. It's like, I have been in that from the time I was 2 years old until now. I have never felt anything. That is just bogus. So you've got a lot of both sides, and that's okay. We're not forcing anybody to believe anything. We're just the people that are interested. We welcome them to come here and see what they think.
And the thing about doing those investigations and bringing people in for various paranormal investigations, ghost hunts, whatever you call them there, it is actually making a lot of older historical places some money. It's some extra income, and that goes to your bottom line. It helps with renovations, the things you need.
It does. It does. And you know, and that's what we tell people. We didn't really do it to make money. I have, and there again, you know, everything like that, I go back to the ones that make it happen. And, you know, I tell them, I'm like, if you guys don't want this to go on, you let us know. Yes, we make money off of this. Not a lot. We don't get rich, but we make money, and it helps us to bring the theater back to what you remember.
Exactly.
It to be.
And that's why I think with a haunted theater, the spirits that are there, they appreciate that because they love the theater, and they were probably quite excited to see people coming back in and events being held again. You live for that.
Yes. Now, I will tell you something that happened the other day, and then something else that the ladies mentioned to me, and I'm kind of excited about that. You know, I hope finally I'll get to have my day, I guess, to experience some of this, but or more, I guess. I do experience a lot here, but due to safety reasons and this and that, and the arcade and the theater being dark, we didn't want the kids running upstairs and, you know, everywhere they shouldn't be. So we put, like, basically driveway alarms, sensors in the trip when the kids would go up and down the stairs. And we got some really, really good sensors. We had this one sensor this past week that every time we would set down, that one sensor would go off. Same location, every time. And it was up right before you get to the projector room. And we would go check, and there's nothing there. And we'd get back down here, and we would just sit down, and it would go off again. So after about the eighth time, I went up there, and I'm like, okay, Vincent, I don't know if this is you or not, or who it is. I said, but I've got your number. I know you're doing this. And I said, I'm going to unplug that thing if you don't stop. And I came back down, and it didn't happen the rest of the day.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like they want to remind us that they're here. And they do little things like that to let us know they're still here. But it's nothing. It's the kind of ornery stuff, more or less, than anything scary, or, you know, it's not like they're going to push you down the stairs or shove a shelf over on you or anything like that. It's just little things.
Have you had any teams come in that shared some of their findings with you that really surprised you?
I won't say surprised me, because I think a lot of them make us think. And of course, no matter what team it is, we always take our information back to the ladies at Belmont, because they're what I would call our home team. They're the ones that came in to explain to us what was going on. And they, you know, so when a team does reveal this or that, I'm like, oh, okay, well, yeah, that's cool. Well, I'm not writing it off as being nothing, but it's kind of cool. You guys got them to answer questions and respond with the light balls or the cat balls. The last time I think the ladies were here, they actually had something that completely broke 2/3 of the laser grid for like 2 seconds. You know, that kind of stuff is just insane. And we have a lot of stuff here too, like that's original. We have posters, we have souvenirs, we've got harmonicas and different little collectors things and stuff, that tapes and records and stuff that people brought back and donated, autographed pictures that they got here when this or that person was here, their grandparents got it when they were here. So it's like that stuff is all coming back. And, you know, it's really cool that that stuff was purchased here. So now it's here to stay. It makes everything a little more relevant, I guess you could say. But it's also some wonderful trigger objects as well.
Right.
The two, I think it was Patsy Cline and Hank Williams, I think, were two of the music that they played on the stage and got some reaction with some of their equipment. Now, I did have we were talking about this balcony going in. The ladies asked me, they said, have you ever seen anything? You know, have you seen an apparition or have you seen this or that? And I said, well, I don't think so. You know, once in a while I'll see something out of the corner of my eye and I'm like, oh, it was a light or something. And they said, well, it could have been, but it also could have been something. And you just aren't realizing that you're seeing it. And she said, now, she said, I want to explain something to you. And this made a lot of sense. She said, in most situations, renovations stir stuff up tremendously.
Yes.
And I said, I realize that. She said, do you know why? She said, oh, they're letting you know they're here. She said, but do you know why you don't have all kinds of problems and issues? And I said, why? She said, because they understand that you are fixing what they know. She said, you're fixing the theater for them. You're not making it a supermarket or you're not making it a bowling alley. She said, you're bringing their theater back to them. And she said, now this balcony will be new. You may be down on the stage or something one day. And she said, you'll just glance around and you'll think that you saw something or somebody standing in the balcony. And she kind of looked at me and she said, when that happens, you probably did. And she said, because it's something new, the balcony was not there. So they're going to be curious and they're going to go out there and check it out. And she said, so keep your eye open, because if you're going to have any activity that you're probably going to see, she said, I think it's going to be in your balcony.
Well, and with changing anything, you know, even in a home where you have activity, if you renovate your kitchen, it kind of amps up the activity because you're changing what they know. And so, but I also think the way your approach to being in their space is so respectful and letting them know what you're doing, why you're doing it, who's coming in, why they're coming in. I think you're providing information that is really important.
Yes. And I think that, you know, personally, I feel that we owe that to them because that also gives them time. We've never, I guess I don't, and I'm not sure, you know, I was wanting to talk to the ladies about that one day. I don't know if there's like some type of signal or something specific that we should say that they should do, but it's like we've never gotten the vibe or the feeling that they want it to stop.
And I think I think you would.
And yeah. And I kind of think they enjoy it. And I really do, because some of the little things that they do to people, like, you know, the music playing and scaring them, and their, you know, their hearts are just pounding clear out of their chest and whatever. When that's happened, I think really and truly, I'm saying, I would think if I was on the other side and I was in their shoes, I would be having a field day with that stuff.
Well, when you think about it, if they've been there for a long time, and who knows, none of us, but no matter what you did at the theater, it's all about, you can't do a show without people coming in to work the show and without the audience. You have to have people in the building to make this whole thing work. And so if you love a theater, like you, for example, like me, I can't put up a play without having an audience, without having the cast, without having the technical people. So it all is exciting. So when you're getting ready to do any event there, you have people coming in, you're setting it up, you're making the popcorn, the pizza, all this stuff. It's that activity that goes with theater that makes it so exciting. No matter what type of production you're doing, from a movie to a concert, it's exciting. And that's why I think they want to stay, like Vincent. It's fun to be part of that.
Yes. And you know, now another thing, we have and I've got my different opinions and things about that. We have an SLS cam, and the ladies introduced us to the SLS cam and everything. But surely you're familiar with that. It shows up as a stick figure.
Yes.
And we had that occur one day, and we actually, it was on a table, and we actually said, well, can you do this or that? And there was a light switch. It was playing with stuff on the table. And I said, here, I said, this light switch, I said, push that button and turn these lights off for me. And that little stick guy, he got right a hold of that thing. And it was just, you could see that it was trying and trying and trying, but it just couldn't do it. And I said, but just the idea that there nobody was doing that, and that thing appeared and it did exactly what I asked, was, it was just amazing.
It's interesting. It's almost like you have this friendship with them.
Yes.
In this relationship. Do other people in the building, volunteers, employees, do they feel that as well?
We've got one or two that do. The rest of them are kind of, they're either skeptic or they're afraid. They don't want to. And I kind of giggle when they say that they're afraid. And I said, you don't want to be afraid, because these guys are going to mess with you. I said, because they like to play games.
Well, and I think, too, a lot of times the theater where my shows are produced, a lot of people have had experiences in there. I've had a lot of experiences in my life. I've never had one in there. But I think that I'm usually there when there's a lot of people. There's a lot of activity. We are rehearsing a play, or the play is on and there's a theater full of people, you know? So I think it's harder to pick up on activity when there's a lot of activity going on in the facility.
Yep. Well, Carol, I actually have people coming in to see the movie.
Okay. You go.
Okay. And feel free to, we'll talk to you anytime about the Monroe Theater.
I would love that. And that wraps up our conversation about the Monroe Theater. Get more information about their events, including paranormal investigations, at their Facebook page, the Haunted Historic Monroe Theater, or their website, historicmonroetheater.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.